Sandra Markle is the author of more than 100 nonfiction books on science topics for children. She has won numerous awards, including a 2006 Boston Globe Horn Book Honor for A Mother's Journey, the book she reads on this podcast. In addition to her books, Ms. Markle has developed science specials for CNN and PBS and developed two internet-based programs for the National Science Foundation. Ms. Markle reads from A Mother's Journey, The Adventure of an Emperor Penguin's Struggle to Find Food for Her Mate and Their Newborn Chick Before They Starve.
This is Sandra Markle reading A Mother's Journey. In the rosy glow of the setting sun, in mid-May, when Antarctica's winter has just begun, a young female emperor penguin pushes out her egg. It's the very first egg she has ever laid. Cream white and cone-shaped, it is softball-sized, and steaming from her body's heat. Her mate waddles fast to pick it up, but bending forward, she scoops the egg onto her feet. Then she covers it with her belly flap and holds it snug in her warm brood pouch. The male sings his song and nudges her neck until at last she lets the egg roll out. This time the male scoops it up and pushes it into his own brood pouch. His winter's job is now begun. During the next 2 months, a tiny chick will grow inside the egg, and all the while the male will keep it warm and safe from the fierce winter storms that blow across the Antarctic ice. The partners sing a last duet. Then the young female joins a line of female emperors marching away from the colony. She too has a job to do. She needs to feed herself and build up strength to be a mother. Then shortly after the chick hatches, she will come back with food for her hungry baby. But the closest food is in the open sea, more than 50 miles away. Flopping on her belly, the young female scoots along, following the others over the ice-crusted snow, and the tracks they leave trail after them. But the ice they are crossing is just an ice sheet, floating on the sea, so here and there the females pop in to swim across the cracks. When they come to an iceberg, gleaming and pointy, the young female and the others stand up and waddle through the maze of scattered ice boulders. On the second day, a fiery green aurora lights up the winter sky. Then the plodding line of emperors seem to dance, with round black shadow partners mimicking their steps. On and on the young female travels, until on the third day the roaring wind blows too hard to push through, and swirls diamond dust snow into a stinging cloud. Then she joins the group standing close together, with feathered backs out and heads pulled in. They huddle to wait out the storm. Day after day, 5 days in all, the young female and the other emperors plod and scoot across the sea ice. Then, finally, they reach the pack ice, a patchwork quilt of milk-white chunks stitched together by seams of blue-black water. It has been more than a month since her last meal, but the young female doesn't rush to jump in. There could be leopard seals lurking in the dark sea. The female emperors crowd together at the very edge of the water. Finally, those at the front dive in. The others rush in after them. Flapping her flippers, the young female flies through the water, zipping this way and that, until with swift and graceful twists, she swims into a school of shimmering silver fish and easily swallows her fill. Every day the young female searches for food, sometimes alone and sometimes with others. She always goes hunting when the sky is brightest, even when that means hunting by moonlight. She needs to see cracks in the ice cover, where she can poke her head out and take a breath before diving again. Some days the young female dines on pink krill, plucked from clusters as thick as clouds. Other days she chases fish and little squid, and darting after them she gulps down all she can catch. When she has no luck near the surface, the young female dives deep down through the dark, ice-cold water to the bottom of the sea. There she nearly always catches a scaly Antarctic Jonas fish, sometimes two or three. One day, a big leopard seal surprises her, swimming up fast from the dark depths with its jaws open wide. The young female pumps her flippers hard, and leaping in and out of the waves, swims fast and escapes. Day after day, the young female hunts and watches out for hunters. In all, she travels more than 930 miles, but it is a zigzag course that never takes her too far from the ice edge. Then one day, at the beginning of August, as the ruby-red sun peaks above the horizon, the young female leaves the sea. A feeling deep inside her tells her it's time to go. If all is well by now, her egg has hatched. The young female joins the other female emperors heading back to the colony. This time, they have even farther to go. The area of ice they must cross has grown bigger. During the cold, dark winter months, so scooting and walking, the little group hurries. They have a long way to travel, and the clock is ticking. The newly hatched chicks need the food the females are bringing stored in their bellies, and their mates cannot wait much longer to leave for the sea to feed themselves. For 7 days, the female emperors march through long, dark nights and short, pale days, through gusting winds and blowing snow. At last ahead, they see the huddled mass of waiting males. Waddling into this group, the young female sings and listens hard for just one singer among all of the others. Finally, she finds her mate. Standing close, the pair bow their heads and sing together. Then the male rows back his belly flap and shows the young female her very first chick. At the sight of its mother, the chick peeps to be fed, and when the chick is settled on her feet, she brings food up and lets it eat. With one last song, her mate heads off to sea. It is the young female's turn to care for the little emperor. But then that is exactly the reason the new mother has made her long journey. The end. This story is a special one about Antarctica for me because I've been to Antarctica 3 times and spent one long, dark, cold winter there. If you look at the pictures again, you'll see that the sky, even during the darkest part, is never really black. Instead, it's more shades of blue and cobalt kind of blue. And look at the picture of the aurora. That's really a beautiful thing to see. It's like light that streams down the sky, a lot of times a fluorescent kind of green, or shoots up like fountains and then streams down again. Don't forget to look at the picture of the snowstorm that they huddled through. This book was actually inspired by my being caught in a snowstorm while I was camping out with 2 other scientists who were studying penguins. And the snow just blew and blew, and it ripped our tents apart. We had to huddle inside our sleeping bags for 12 hours while the snow piled up on top of us and the wind roared. So I know firsthand what it's like to be trapped in an Antarctic storm. Hope you enjoyed this story. I'll love sharing some others with you. Bye-bye.